change.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Hope it's starting off well for you. Hope that you got a chance to get outside a little bit yesterday. It was kind of nice out, and today it's going to be similar. Looking at like 50 degrees today. So I made sure I got out and took a little walk. I figured just in case I wouldn't walk down the bike path, which is where I normally walk. You know, we have the bike trail that goes right behind the radio station. So I'll usually walk down that, walk to the end of the first kind of segment of it. Forget where that lets out. But I think like going all the way down there and coming back, it's a little over a mile. So that's what I'll usually do as my walk, or sometimes, you know, depending on if the weather isn't great, then I'll just walk around the building a couple of times so that if, you know, if it starts a downpour or something, I can come inside. So yesterday I was like, oh, I'm going to take a walk down the bike path. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Not 100% sure nothing's going to happen here. So I don't want to go down the bike path where nobody might find me. So I stuck to the main roads, walked around the job lot building and up along Route 6 and down over to Stop and Shop and everything. And it was nice. But by the time I went outside, it was already a little bit chillier than it had been, but it was still pretty good. So I'm going to try to get another one in today. And if you do as well, well, more power to you. So this morning we are going to hear a little bit later on. We have a guest joining us for the South Coast Health Community Spotlight. We're going to be talking about an organization that helps with fishermen, that offers support services for the fishing industry. Things like, you know, helping them find health care and mental health services and things like that. So that'll be coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. But I want to start things off. I wanted to go back to something that if you missed the discussion we had with City Council President Shane Burgo yesterday morning, you can catch the podcast. He joins us every Monday at 8 a.m. And, you know, as is the tradition with this segment, as I've always done it, it's designed to talk about what the council is doing. So we talk about some of the things that happened in the meetings that went on the week previous, and we kind of preview what's coming up in that week's meetings. And we touched upon that with Council President Burgo yesterday, but also we got pretty in-depth about Police Chief Paul Oliveira's surprising announcement that he's going to be retiring at the beginning of May. And I found it very interesting that Council President Burgo said that he found out about this by getting the news alert on the WBSM app, that he and the other counselors learned of this through either WBSM's reporting or the New Bedford Police Department's Facebook post, because we were pretty quick to have a story up. And right around maybe a little bit before or maybe a little bit after, I forget exactly, when we had the story up, the police department put up something on Facebook. And the, you know, this isn't a victory lap to, oh, look at us, we were breaking the news. I mean, it was a press release that was sent out. The point here is that that's how the counselors found out, was through the media, whether it be social or traditional. And as Council President Burgos said, you know, that's not the way that the city council should be finding out about the impending departure of a department head. And I suppose from the perspective of the mayor and the police chief, you know, the council doesn't really play a role in that job, whether it be, you know, him retiring or hiring the next one, except for confirming Mayor Mitchell's pick, which is going to be a while down the road. So maybe they're like, yeah, we don't need to mention it to them. But as a courtesy, wouldn't you expect that you would? Hey, heads up, just because you're going to probably get requests from the media. Especially Councillor Gomes, who is the chair of the Public Safety Committee. So you would think that there would be, you know, a little bit of a heads up just that they know that this is coming. Or maybe reaching out to the council president to say, would you like to have a statement in this release that we're about to put out? Because as I pointed out to Council President Burgo, and I'm sure he caught it when he was reading the story and reading the Facebook post in which it had the complete statement from Chief Oliveira, there was also a statement from Mayor Mitchell. So this was not a surprise to the mayor. Now, it wouldn't be anyway, because that's who Chief Oliveira is going to... That's his boss. So that's who he's going to tell, hey, I'm retiring. But the fact that they did not alert the council, I thought was very interesting. Now, that also could have been strategic to some degree, because if you go and tell 11 councilors before you get the opportunity to craft everything that it is you're going to say, well, then maybe one of those 11 councilors leaks that information out. Now, you know, I'm not disparaging the councilors and saying they're a bunch of gossips. But, you know, that just widens the circle of people that know before you've had a chance to make the statement that you want to make. And then it becomes you're responding rather than stating. And that's there's a big difference in that. There's a big difference between controlling the narrative and being able to say, hi, everybody, I'm retiring. Or having some jerk radio host at WBSM hearing about it and then calling you and saying, is it true that you're retiring? Even just the appearance of that is, oh, well, why did the radio station have to call you, or a reporter from New Bedford Light or the Standard Times or New Bedford? Why'd they have to call you instead of you putting this out there? And people automatically make an assumption, even though maybe it was just I was in the middle of crafting my announcement and they just beat me to it. And that happens quite a bit in news reporting where, you know, you hear about something and then you reach out to somebody for confirmation and they say, well, I'm in the middle of actually crafting my statement. So if you want to hold on, I'll have that out to you in about an hour. Well, maybe that news outlet says, no, that confirms this for us. We're going to go with it. So I totally understand why there's a small circle of people that would have that information. But I would think, because of the role that they play in city government in terms of being a representation of the people, that you would want the councilors to know. But as I said to Council President Burgo, it also makes for a nice promo when he's telling you, I found out about it from, I got the alert on my WBSM app. I was tempted to say to him, you know, can you give me a quick, hi, I'm Shane from New Bedford, and I listen to WBSM every day on the WBSM app. And we'll just put that into the promo, too. But I figured, you know, he gave us enough in that regard. I'm joking, of course, but you never know. I might actually make a promo just for fun. But still, that's I find it very interesting that they were not given a heads up on something that is such a big deal, especially considering he had just signed a new 3-year contract. Had the chief not done that, had he said, you know what, rather than sign a new contract, I'm just going to play it out. You know, I'll work on a, like, give me a 1-year contract, and then we'll look at it again in another year. I think people would be less surprised. I think the fact that he just basically committed to being here for another 3 years and then decided 6 months in, nah, never mind, is what has people scratching their heads. But I don't know anything more than you do. But I have every reason to believe it's just a matter of, you think you're going to keep working. You say, oh, I'm going to reach the point in 6 months where I'll be fully vested and I'm not going to be able to make any more. And, you know, it would be the perfect time to retire, but I just don't feel like it yet. I feel like I'm ready to work another 3 years and then we'll take a look at it. And then that day comes and you wake up that day and you say, wait a minute, I didn't have to get up at 4 a.m. today. Wait a minute, I didn't have to get woken up in the middle of the night because of some crime that happened. Wait a minute, I don't have to have trouble falling asleep because I'm worried about the safety of our officers out there. So I think that there's something to be said for, you know, having that choice to be able to make. You know, it's like the joke that we make when people are playing the lottery for one of these big jackpot prizes. Oh, well, if I win, I'm still going to go to work the next day because I love my job. So I'm still going to go to work, even though I'm now $100 million richer. I'm still going to go to work the next day. And then that day comes and you wake up and you're like me. You're getting up. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. You probably were up pretty late because, you know, you just won $100 million and you're excited. Not that I did that, but I'm talking just in general. You know, if you're me getting up at 4 a.m. and you're like, okay, now I got to go get in the shower, do some prep work. But, and then you're like, wait a minute, what am I doing? I can just go and go back to bed, and what are they going to do? Fire me? I'll be fine. I've got $100 million. And you know what? If I don't want to get fired, I'll just buy the radio station. Like when you're standing there with that kind of ability to make that choice. Do I go to work because I have to? Or do I go to work because I want to? And does either one of them motivate me enough to go when I know I don't have to? So that might be just the choice that Chief Oliveira found himself facing. I'm sure Chris is going to have him in here at some point before his retirement. And they can dive more into it. But I can totally see that as being the situation where you just get to that point and you say, I thought that I wanted to, but I don't know that I want to. I thought that I wanted to keep going, but you know, I don't think I have it in me. Or maybe it's possible that in that 6 months he just got burnt out. Or life circumstances could have changed. You know, we don't know everything that's going on in his personal life. Hopefully it's nothing bad. But I guess, you know, the choice that you have when you put 32 years into a job that has a pension at the end of it. You have that option of saying, like, and it, by the way, it's not uncommon. As has been pointed out frequently, there was a 20-something people from his graduating class at the police academy that went to work for the police department, and he's one of only three that are left. The rest have retired. And it's not that uncommon for police officers to be in their mid-50s and say, yeah, I'm done with this. I'm going to go do something else for another 15, 20 years. He might have gotten an offer to do something else. Somebody might have come to him with an idea and said, we should start this business. My father-in-law was a firefighter in the city of Boston. He got promoted to district chief. And that was the day that he started eyeing his retirement. Because, not because he was like, well, now I'm going to make the most of my pension because I've reached this, you know, this is just padding my pension here. That wasn't why. It was because he didn't like being behind a desk. He liked being with the guys running into the fires. And when they took that away from him, basically on the verge of his seniority, you know, on the basis of his seniority and his leadership skills, he's like, well, I can't go run into fires anymore. No, you work in headquarters. He didn't have the love for it anymore. So when he could retire, he did. He started himself up a little business. Doing something that he liked. Cleaning out estates. Him and his buddy bought a truck and they just started doing that. And they had a lot of fun. So hopefully it's, you know, more of that and nothing negative that would cause the chief to make this decision, but still surprising that the council found out about it through, you know, our reporting or the New Bedford Police Department Facebook post. I gotta take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
To a room with some lace and paper flowers.
And now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Trump says Mexico and Canada tariffs will happen. AI will determine if some federal workers get to keep their jobs. And an American flag at Yosemite goes viral.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump says tariffs against Mexico and Canada will move forward. It comes as a month-long delay of their implementation expires next week. Speaking with French President Macron at the White House, Trump said they're on time with the tariffs. The two countries could see 25% tariffs on all exports starting on March 4th. Pope Francis showing a slight improvement in his condition and resuming some of his work activities. That's according to an update from the Vatican. The 88-year-old remains in critical condition with pneumonia in both of his lungs. The update said the Pope's lab tests have improved and he's had no major episodes. The early signs of mild kidney failure that were reported on Sunday have shown no cause for concerns. Responses to the email that asked federal workers to list what they accomplished at their jobs will be read by AI. Sources tell NBC News that replies to the Elon Musk-directed email will be fed into an AI model, which will determine if their jobs are necessary. The report says the information the workers submit will go into an advanced AI system that understands, generates, and processes human language. The U.S. Office of Personnel Management sent an email to government employees on Saturday asking them to list five bullets of what they accomplished last week. Musk posted on X that failure to respond to the email would be taken as a resignation. Yesterday marked 3 years since Russia launched a full-scale invasion of Ukraine. It came as Ukrainian President Zelensky said over the weekend that he would step down if it meant bringing peace to his country. He added he would willingly trade his position for immediate NATO membership. The nation has been heavily dependent on U.S. military aid in resisting Moscow, but that aid may be gone under the Trump administration, and its soldiers face exhaustion. Russia controls about 20% of Ukraine's territory at the cost of hundreds of thousands killed and wounded.
The first time ever I saw
Grammy-winning R&B singer Roberta Flack is dead at the age of 88. Flack's career took off in the 1970s with hits Killing Me Softly with his song and The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face. Her representative said Flack died Monday morning surrounded by family. She earned 6 top 10 pop hits along with 10 top 10 R&B songs in her career. She became the first artist to win the Grammy for Record of the Year in back-to-back years in 1973 and 1974. And photos of an American flag hung upside down from a peak in Yosemite National Park have gone viral on social media. Brian Shook reports.
Photographer Brittany Colt captured the moment the group unveiled it over El Capitan.
It took me a few seconds to process that it was upside down because they were still hanging it.
A group of Yosemite National Park staffers have claimed responsibility for the stunt. They said in a statement that it was to protest what they called an attack on public lands and mass layoffs. Nearly one dozen of the park's full-time staff members were fired as part of a nationwide cost-cutting effort by the Trump administration. I'm Brian Shook.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Celtics in Toronto to play the Raptors tonight, and Bruins home at TD Garden to play the Maple Leafs. Both games at 7 o'clock.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mostly cloudy with a few light evening showers. A high of 51 degrees today. Partly cloudy on Wednesday with a high of 50. On Thursday, cloudy with showers possible, a high of 52. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Of land where the supermarket used to stand. Before that they put up a bowling alley on the site that used to be the local pally. That's where the big band used to come and play. My sister went there on a Saturday. Come dancing, all her boyfriends used to come and call. Why not come dancing? It's only natural.
And welcome back in, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. By the way, Casey was able to reach out to everybody who was a winner for our tickets to see Invincible, the glorious tribute to Michael Jackson that's coming to Mohegan Sun Arena this Saturday. And tickets are still available if you want to purchase them through Mohegan Sun. But the winners were all notified. And check your email, check your junk box, just in case. And if you didn't get an email from Casey, well, then you weren't a winner. But we did have a lot of tickets to give away. So thanks to Mohegan Sun, and thanks to Stevie's Wine and Spirits, the home of the purple dot where you can try before you buy. And also the place where this Thursday, they're having a very special event, a tasting event with Macaulay Minton, the chief alchemist and the distiller behind Dark Arts Whiskey House. My absolute favorite. Some of the best stuff you'll ever going to try. And by the way, this stuff, it's not cheap. So to have the chance to go there and try a whole bunch of stuff with Macaulay himself is a great experience. So I recommend, if you are a whiskey bourbon fan, You know, if you like whiskey, if you like bourbon, if you like rye, they'll have, there's a great rye from Dark Arts as well. Then you want to be there on Thursday at 4 p.m., Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. And then if you really like whiskey and bourbon, make sure you join the Rack House Club. So there's a very interesting story I saw this morning from ABC6, and they've been putting it up on the television here as well. So as we've been talking quite a bit, not only about the homeless here, but also those in Providence, especially with the launch of the Echo Village. But there are still a number of people who are out on the street, even in some of the colder temperatures that we had over the last couple of weeks. And ABC6 has a story about an artist who has taken things into his own hands. So he has started putting people up in Airbnbs and hotels and some other properties. And so far, they've been able to put over 150 people into some kind of room for a place to stay. His name is David O'Connor. He says, "This is not the ideal way of doing things, but the reality is if I'm able to do these things and see positive change as one person with support from some others, then if we have 6 months to plan, there's no way this should continue next year." So he said, "It's not realistic for people to turn their lives around when they're being kicked out of these shelters at 7 a.m., especially after spending time in person or rehab." He says, "I can't even go grocery shopping until 9 o'clock, even if I did get up at 7. So there's not actually things people can do to get resumes. So it doesn't make sense that we're forcing people out." You know, and that's one of the things that's been brought up with Echo Village, is it's not only a place for them to stay and spend the night, but it's also a place where they can get that kind of help. So the House of Hope organization will have staff there that can help them with things like resume preparation, that can at least have facilities for them to shower and do laundry and have clean clothes to go out on a job interview. And so what David O'Connor is saying is right, but he's taking money out of his own pocket. And he said since he started doing this, he's consistently housed around 100 people. Now, ABC6 is planning a deeper dive next week into the cost breakdown to help the homeless community. And one person that's been helping O'Connor along the way. So stay tuned to ABC6 for more of that reporting. But pretty interesting that, you know, this one person is not only footing the bill for this, but making the arrangements to find these places for folks to have a place to stay that is more conducive to what they're trying to do, rather than just, yeah, we're going to have a warm bed for you for the night, but then, yeah, you're getting kicked out at 7 a.m. when it's still cold and now gives you no resources to find a way to not have to come back here. You want to make a resume, go to the library. Or there's other places where you can go to work on something like that, but it can't be here because we don't have the ability to keep you here. I mean, so far, so good on the Echo Village, as far as I know. I haven't heard any negatives from it. And maybe this will be the solution, is more of these type of little communities where it's not just about having the bed and the four walls and a roof. It's about having access to the assistance and bringing the assistance to where the people are, as opposed to telling them, well, you know, go down to this building. And then they've got to figure out, well, now I've got to get on a bus, or I've got to walk. I've got to find somebody to give me a ride. No, it's right there. You walk out of your little room, your little shed, and everything that you need is right there. So that, again, you can get to the point where in 6 months or so, you don't have to be here anymore. You can be in a regular apartment or some other living situation. But I guess this is the, you know, O'Connor is one person who is, you know, putting his money where his mouth is and saying, if the state's not going to do it, I will. And 100 people, consistently housing 100 people is a big deal. If somebody came and did that in New Bedford, that's a huge portion of the homeless population here. Where, you know, we'll get the point in time numbers in a few months, but something like that would take care of most of the people that are actually out on the street in the city. But not everybody's willing to dig into their pockets and do something like that. Or find, you know, in this case, find people that help you with that as well. 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails, both open on the WBSM app if you want to send those over. Thanks to South Coast Towing for making that app packed full of features and completely free. So you can download it from your app store. A lot of folks have gone out and purchased new phones in recent weeks. Hopefully I'm getting mine this weekend because I can't do anything on my phone anymore. It's so full. And I keep trying to take stuff off of it, but more just ends up on it. I mean, it's been years since I've upgraded, so I'm probably due. Be nice to not have to keep it on charger most of the time. But anyways, people are getting new devices. They're like, well, now I can finally get that WBSM app. Don't worry about it. It's not a lot of space on your phone, but it has a lot of options packed into it. Live traffic, live weather, so that when you wake up in the morning, you can figure out, you know, what you're going to wear and how long it's going to take you to get to work. Breaking news alerts, so that when you're on the city council, you can find out when the police chief is retiring. It has all of our programming, so you can listen to live audio anytime, but you can also listen to our podcasts too. It even has an alarm, so you can set it to wake up with WBSM. And there are people who would tell us, you know, we wake up in the morning listening, and then we get in the car, and then we get in the office, and it's just the app is getting picked up by whatever smart speaker is in the room that I'm in. So you never have to stop and find a radio or tune in or anything. So check it out. Download it if you haven't already. The WBSM app, brought to you by South Coast Towing. Let me take this break and we will be right back. And welcome back in. So, you know, this morning I was getting up and getting ready, getting dressed. And now I probably should, but when I get all my clothing back from Dash Laundromat, it comes nice and neatly folded, wrapped up in these nice clear bags. So I know what's in every bag. And I know I should open up the bags and take them out and put the clothes in the drawer and hang up some of the stuff and do all of that. But I've gotten totally lazy now that I don't have to do my laundry at all. And I leave it in the bags and I just take it right out. And you know what else I find? Because now that I have a cat, if I leave it in the bag, I don't have a bunch of cat fur all over my clothes. So it's hugely helpful because yes, he will jump into my dresser drawers when I open them up. He does it constantly. Like, you can't, it's not a bed, Apollo. You can't lay in there. Came home yesterday. He's actually laying in the hamper, in the laundry hamper. I was like, well, I guess I got to go get one with a lid now. But it's nice to be able to have my clothes washed, dried, and folded for me, and then just ready to throw on and wear. No wrinkles, no ironing, They do a fantastic job over there at Dash Laundromat. And right now, they're introducing their brand new Dash Tote delivery bags, which are even better for protecting your clothes because they're designed with a secure zipper top to protect your laundry every step of the way. They're weather resistant and they're very durable. I might have to get one of those because I keep bringing my clothes over in trash bags. But you can also sign up for one of their Dash subscription plans, whether it be a small, medium, or large tote with premium detergent options like Tide, Gain, or All. Plus, you can enjoy discounts on comforters, blankets, and household items. But this is really great because you just pay one price every month and you get X amount of pounds of laundry, depending on which plan you pick, to be able to have done every week. And they'll come and they'll pick it up and they'll drop it off. Doing laundry couldn't be any easier than doing it with Dash. Stop by and check the place out. They're at One State Road in Dartmouth. But also, make sure you download that Dash Laundromat app so you can see all the great services they offer. And you're going to get it done with Dash. I don't know why anybody's doing laundry anymore. And you can even choose, by the way, if you don't sign up for the subscription plan and if you just go with the wash, dry, fold service, you can choose whether you want it the next day, whether you want it the regular amount of time, whether you want to have them just wash it and dry it and you fold it, whatever it is. And it's surprisingly cheap. It's a lot cheaper than what they were charging at the place I used to go to do my laundry. So check it out for yourself and save yourself that time. As the warm weather is coming, you don't want to be spending that time in the laundromat or in the laundry room. Let Dash take care of it. They actually love doing it. And like I said, you're going to get it done at Dash. All right, 508-996-0500 is my number here. We also have app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. As I said, later on, we're going to hear in the 8 o'clock hour from a local organization that helps the New Bedford fishing industry with support services as part of the South Coast Health Community Spotlight. And I'm actually going to be having a conversation, speaking of South Coast Health, with the folks over at the Cancer Center, because we're going to be doing some initiatives here to bring you more information on the air, including next month. It is March's National Kidney Cancer Awareness Month, and I want to make sure that we observe that each year because it was nothing that I ever thought about until I had it. And if you can find it and find it early, it's relatively easy to get through it. But you have to find it. You have to know that it's happening. And so the earlier, the better. And then if you find it early enough, maybe you don't even have to be like me and lose the whole kidney. So we'll be talking about that next month for sure. But, you know, some other things too that we want to bring you information on. Because again, as they say, they're more than medicine. And part of that is prevention. And I want to do what we can to make sure that people can stay ahead of the curve. So that'll be certainly next month. We'll talk about that in March. Last year, if you remember, we had on my surgeon, Dr. LaRocque. I think maybe this year I might try to get my nephrologist to come on. I mean, you know, I don't think I'm giving away personal info too much because Chris talks about his kidney issues, but we have the same nephrologist. He's a really cool guy. And if we can get him to come on for a few minutes, very informative. I mean, makes things so easy to understand. And I think he'd do a great job of explaining to people, you know, kidneys and some of the risks. So maybe we'll work on that. Of course, it all depends on the doctor's schedules because it's way more important that they're seeing patients than it is that they're calling into us. But they also know that calling into us is important because it can help save lives. All right, let me take my final break of this hour and we'll be right back. Your mama's back. When our problem comes along, you must whip it before the Did you see the reunited Devo on the SNL 50 homecoming concert? They're going to be out on tour this summer. And...